Our message today is based on our Old Testament and Gospel readings, especially this verse from Isaiah chapter 49. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. You may be seated. Dear saints, as you probably know, we Americans like to have choices in life. We like to have options. The more options available to us, the better, it seems. Just go to Walmart and look at all the choices. Not enough choices there? Well, go to Amazon. Don't want fries with that? Choose something else. Want to buy a new car? First, pick your make and model, then pick your options, then pick your color. If you want custom floor mats, a custom paint job, custom license plate holder, you've got it. Having choices, it seems, is one of the hallmarks of Western society. Sometime in the 1980s, before he became prime minister, Russia's Boris Yeltsin visited a Randall's grocery store in Clear Lake, Texas. He was shocked by all the different products. Thousands of different choices in that one little store. Even Russia's elite didn't have that many choices in the 80s. And the average Russian had to wait in long lines for one option of bread, maybe a little bit of meat, and some potatoes. Yeltsin said that if Russians saw the choices in a U.S. grocery store, there would be a revolution. But it's not just in shopping that we value our options. We want to choose where we live, choose how we live, choose our career, choose our friends, choose our soulmate, choose our religion, and within that religion, we like to have choices. We want to pick a particular style that suits us. After all, isn't it our God-given right to have choices? Well, actually, no. Consider the Old Testament prophets. Now, I don't know if they had career fairs in Old Testament Israel, but if they did and you were running the table trying to recruit prophets of the Most High God, your table would likely be quite lonely. No one really wanted to be a prophet. Not a true prophet. Consider Jeremiah. Now, in Jeremiah's time, there were plenty of false prophets, as there are in our time, and those false prophets, I suppose, chose that work for some ulterior motive. But to be the mouthpiece of the one true God was not something that one would choose according to human nature. Some prophets were loved one moment and then hated the next. Others were just hated. Like Jeremiah, many of them were tortured or killed by the very people they were called to witness to. But as Jeremiah says in chapter 1, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Or consider Isaiah, who wrote our Old Testament lesson this morning. Called to be a prophet through a vision given to him by God. Or think about what St. Paul says in our epistle reading, that he was called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Our culture's desire to choose what it wants in life, to make choices, while perhaps fine when it comes to selecting the paint color for your house, insidiously infects even the most precious things of this world, namely human life. Our society tells us that we can choose our gender or choose the gender or other genetic factors for our children that we would bear, or choose to end the life of a person who doesn't fit within our parameters of worthiness. Sadly, so strong is our culture of choice and death that it can even infect the church. The place where God gives life. An ordained minister of the Presbyterian Church USA was recently quoted as saying, quote, as an ordained minister, I am proudly pro-choice. I am also very proud that my denomination as a whole is pro-choice. To believe that our right to choose things extends even to choosing to end the life of an unborn person or ending the life of an elderly person, or ending the life of a disabled person, or ending the life of some person of another ethnicity, or ending our own life. This is so far removed from God's will, our God who gives life, that this mindset could only come from one place, the father of lies himself, Satan. King Herod wanted to destroy Jesus, and so killed all of the infants under 2 years old in the area of Bethlehem. Some actress recently claimed that she wouldn't have won her little actress award if she had not been allowed to kill her unborn child. Some dictator in Europe chose to kill disabled people and Jews because he thought it would make it a better country. These are demonic ideas, period. God is the author of life, not of death. And so we hear these words from Isaiah, words from the mouth of the servant of God. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. Now, this is not Isaiah speaking about himself, but on his lips are the words of the Son of God. Because you see, God came into our world first within the womb of Mary. It was in Elizabeth's womb that John the Baptist leapt for joy when he heard the voice of Mary, who was carrying his Lord. God is a God of life. He came into the world as a person, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, to redeem us. Human life is precious to God because not only did he create it, but he himself became a part of it, entering into it just as you and I did, from the womb of his mother. God chose to be born into this world for us and for our salvation. Now, there is one other area of life in which people think they have a choice, namely the choice to be a Christian, the choice to be a disciple of Jesus. I have decided I'm going to live like a believer, says the famous gospel song, but is that really the case? Paul says in the book of Romans, there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. And when St. Andrew tells Peter in our gospel lesson, we have found the Messiah, it's not in the same sense as when you say, I have found my keys. No, the Messiah was revealed to Andrew through John the Baptist. Through John, Jesus found Andrew. Our wills are so bent in on ourselves that we have no ability to choose God or to find God, not the true God, not on our own. No, God has to choose us. And that turns the whole idea of spiritual free will and spiritual choice upside down. In fact, Jesus tells us explicitly in John 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." According to our sinfulness, we are only able to choose the wrong, to choose evil. But God doesn't leave us that way. Since we are unable and unwilling to come to him, since we are poor, miserable sinners, since God's ways are not our ways, he comes to us, first in the word and in our baptisms, then continually in his word and in his supper. And that brings us finally to our gospel reading. Behold the Lamb of God, says John the Baptist. Now you may recall that John's parents were unable to have children until God gave them John. And just like the Old Testament prophets, John's role would not have been one that he would have chosen for himself. In fact, later on, he is killed for it. No, God chose him. God chose those first disciples, Andrew and Simon and Philip and Nathanael and the rest, chose them to hear and believe the words of John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And you are here today, no matter what circumstances arose to actually put you in that pew, you are here today because someone said to you, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Someone pointed you to Jesus. God called out to you. He chose you to worship the Lamb, to worship Jesus, to receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation from his cross. You did not choose to be born the first time, as you did not choose to be born again in the waters of your baptism. God chose you. And that matters. It matters that God chose you. Because if it were up to you or me, if it were you that chose God, if it were you that decided one day, you know, this Jesus guy, he sounds pretty interesting, then how could you be certain that you made the right choice? As you know, the danger with choices is you can do all the research, you can read all the reviews, you can make pro lists and con lists about this product and that product. In fact, one could spend a lot of time doing that. But you finally have to pick something. You choose a particular product, and then, well, it's not so great after all. You may regret your choice. You may want to choose something that may be better. So, if it was you that chose Jesus, maybe you made a mistake. But God doesn't make mistakes. We make spiritual mistakes all the time. We call it sin. We make bad choices all the time. But God does not. God chose you on purpose. He chose you because of his extreme love for you. God chose you despite your sin. Jesus chose to die on the cross for you. He chose to be the lamb sacrificed to take away your sin and the sin of each person around you today and the sin of every person that you meet. And God does not regret his choices. Jesus chose those first disciples, each one of them specifically for his purpose. And it's the same with you and with me. God chose to give you life. God chose to give you new life in baptism, baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. What a comfort that in the midst of all our bad choices, there's really only one choice that matters, Jesus choosing you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.